This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Aaron David Miller is one of the top experts on the Middle East right now, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. We've chatted with Aaron a number of times before. Worked for the U.S. Department of State for 24 years. Six different secretaries of state, and an expert in the Arab-Israel negotiation all throughout. We know what's taking place right now. Aaron, I know your time is short. Thank you so much. What do you expect Bibi Netanyahu to do off the attacks from Iran, which took place yesterday?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chad. And I hate the word expert. I mean, you know, the Middle East U.S. foreign policy is like the university you never graduate from. And while I a lot of years ago Wolverines at the University of Michigan, close game against Minnesota, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Right. Sure.
I do so with great respect and humility. Look, I think the parameters are somehow being shaped by the United States. I mean, the president today said he said he would oppose a Israeli strike against Iran's nuclear facilities, but he also conceded the reality that the Israelis are going to respond, and they will respond. You can't launch 180-plus ballistic missiles. And remember, these ballistic missiles, unlike the last launch in mid-April, they travel much faster, roughly, what, 11, 12 minutes before they impact Israeli airspace. They launch 180-plus of these things over a fairly large area of the country. Now, only two Israelis were slightly wounded, and tragically, a Palestinian from Gaza was killed, probably by falling debris from the interceptors or from the missiles themselves in Jericho in the West Bank. Israelis are going to respond. It'll be, I think, pretty severe. Any number of target sets, Iran's exporting facilities, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps command and control facilities, Iran's conventional military facilities. And then the question will be, who's going up the escalatory ladder? Will the Iranians respond again with another saturation attack with missiles? And then, of course, if that's the case, we're off to the races. And by the time we're done, if things progress, and I hope they won't, I can see the U.S. becoming involved. And it's hardly an opportune time, given the fact that there are, my math isn't really good, how many days before one of the most consequential elections in modern American history. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's
the last time we chatted, Aaron, you just did put out a tweet that we are as close to a global Middle East war as we have been in decades. And nothing has slowed down since then. And you laid it out with the responses back and forth. How, yeah, knowing your years of doing this and knowing so many of these players well, how close are we to a significant escalation between Israel and Iran, and as you laid out at the end of your last answer, the obvious involvement of our country in a much more significant way?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I used the term global. I think I used the term multi-front war. And what I meant, we're not talking about, the Middle East has seen plenty of wars where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ground troops deployed. That's not the kind of war we're talking about. We're talking about a war that would involve unmanned aerial vehicles, cyber, AI, ballistic missiles, one-way attack drones, cruise missiles, anti-tank guided missiles, along a multi-series of fronts, Israel-Lebanon, pro-Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria, escalating against American forces in Iraq and Syria, as you mentioned, sustained confrontation between Israel and Iran. And the Israelis have escalation dominance here with respect to the sophistication of their own Jericho missiles, their fighter aircraft. The Iranians, depending on how much damage they suffered, could strike out as they did September 2019 against Saudi oil-producing facilities and even American forces. And by then, I think the United States, which has one carrier strike group, that means the aircraft carrier was supporting ships, in, now in the Gulf of Oman, and another carrier strike group, Harry Truman, heading to the Eastern Med with all kinds of fighter aircraft. Hard to imagine that we would not get involved both defensively in an effort to stop missiles from striking Israel launched from Iran, but perhaps our own offensive actions against against the Iranians. So that's what I'm describing. If 10 was, it's a virtual certainty, and one, it's not going to happen, I'm still pretty risk averse on this. I'm still 4 to 5. I don't think anybody wants that. But, you know, nobody ever lost any money betting against bad things happening, escalation wars in the Middle East.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know that Biden and Netanyahu have known each other for a long time, but it seems like the reporting is clear that they're having significant differences and different views on this since October 7th, right? Even though this country is still given billions and billions and billions of dollars in weapons. When Biden is offering up comments now, including today on, I want Israel to stay away from attacking the Iranian nuclear sites, does Netanyahu listen to him at all? Does it really factor in to his decision making?
Well, it's interesting, depending on the circumstances, right? I mean, in April 13-14, the Iranians launched 300 high-trajectory weapons toward Israel. The Israelis, the Americans, even the Jordanians, and some undefined or unmentioned Arab states in the Gulf participated in blocking those attacks. And Biden said to Netanyahu, look, take the win. At that time, Netanyahu listened. And the Israelis launched a single strike against an S-300 radar installation in Isfahan, which was adjacent to a nuclear facility, to send a message to Iran that, you see, you have no air defenses. We can hit you. I don't think the Israelis, I mean, there is an argument. Israel, I'm sure there are elements in Israel, and I know there are elements here, that are making the case that there will never be a better moment for the Israelis to strike Iran's nuclear facilities. Iran struck first. Hezbollah is a hollow shell of itself. Iran's air defenses are weak. And the Americans, locked into this election 40-plus days from now, are constrained. Mm-hmm. So why not do it? I'm thinking Biden didn't want him to do it, and I think Netanyahu was planning on doing it. So it's hard to know, you know, whether or not Biden influenced the Israelis. We'll see what how the Israelis respond. Look, you know, in a year, even though Joe Biden tethered himself to Israeli war aims, there was plenty about what happened in Gaza that the president objected to. He did not marry those objections to any pressure or leverage or cost or coercion. And I think there were...
Do you think he should have?
Well, there are three reasons. I mean, whether he should have or shouldn't have, I don't... Being out of government now for 24 years, I keep reminding myself before I pontificate to those folks who are actually making the decisions, including the president, how hard it is to get anything done inside and under what constraints people function inside. This there are three reasons he didn't, and they apply to why he won't, in my judgment. Number one, he alone among modern American presidents has this fundamental attachment to the idea of Israel, the security of Israel, the people of Israel. Obviously not to the most extreme right-wing government in the history of the state of Israel. So it's not within Biden's emotional sort of character to go and fight with an Israeli prime minister. Second are the politics. I voted for Republicans and Democrats. I worked for Republicans and Democrats. The Republican Party has emerged as the Israel can do no wrong party, and the Democratic Party is deeply divided, and the administration is caught in the middle. In a close election that could be determined by half a dozen battleground states and the number of votes that correspond to the number of seats in the University of Michigan Stadium, the big house in Ann Arbor, 100,000, any issue, take a coin out of your pocket if you have one, and heads for Harris, tails for Trump. And right now, wherever it lands, that's going to be the next president. So in that kind of election, I don't think the administration wanted to, and you know, politics is about addition. A lot of voters in Michigan and in Minnesota, uncommitted, very angry at Biden and Harris for not being tougher with the Israelis. So I think the president's persona, the politics, and then the policy. I mean, the administration latched onto this quite reasonable notion of trying to get Israel and Hamas to negotiate a ceasefire to de-escalate the war. But that meant basically dealing with Netanyahu on one hand and Yahya Sinwar, the preeminent Palestinian decision maker who's in some tunnel meters below ground, probably surrounded by Israeli hostages. Neither of them, in months and months and months, wanted this agreement. So he would need not Sinwar's agreement, but Netanyahu. So persona, the president, the politics, and the policy, all of this argued against. And if you took a look at the way American presidents have dealt with Israel, the last American president to threaten serious pressure was Dwight D. Eisenhower. When the Israelis and the British and the French attacked the Suez Canal, the Israelis occupied Sinai, Eisenhower threatened sanctions on Israel. Ben-Gurion withdrew his forces. Since then, there have been tangles. I worked for Bush 41, James Baker. There was a tangle over assistance, which the administration denied. But those were discrete acts of pressure. They were one-offs. Nothing like the situation we have now. So should Biden have been tougher with Israel? Yeah. But the realities of his presidency and the circumstances under which he was making policy, I mean, where you stand is where you sit, Chad. You know, and I'm sitting at Carnegie and he's sitting in the White House. So
that is true.
That's the deal.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in because I know you have to go. You're very busy today. Thank you, sir. We'll reach out again. It's certainly on this very important topic.
Great question, Chad. And take care. Bye-bye.
Aaron David Miller. Okay, let's get back to what we've been discussing a lot on the lighter side. This is, to the day, our birthday. 100 years of WCCO Radio. Your dominant memory of this station is, and if you could give the station a gift and have some fun with it, what gift would you give us? Send me a text, 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.